Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I am your host, JD, and with me as always, Mouse is in the house.
What up? What up? What's going
man,
on?
Not much, man. Just keeping busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, like I was telling you offline, I got a new puppy.
How's that going?
I wanted to add to my crazy house. It's going good. So far, so good. I work from home, so it's easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's still a puppy, so it's picking up a lot of pee.
Yeah, for sure.
But she'll be doing that
for
bad.
A while.
Yep.
Are you, like, crate training her, feeding her in a
yes.
kennel or anything like that?
Yeah. She's just weird. Like, she's halfway potty trained, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, right before we recorded this podcast, I took her out, and she pooped, and she was out there a while. I stayed out there with her.
Yeah.
And right before I hit record, she peed in front of the office door.
She's a puppy. That's what's going to happen.
Yep. She's literally sleeping under me right now. So.
Oh, that's nice.
She don't bark, so you probably won't hear her on the podcast.
Not yet. Knock on wood.
I know. Not yet. And you?
Yeah, man.
How was Peppa Pig?
Oh, man. I had a scare at Peppa Pig. Like, my worst nightmare almost happened. Not my worst nightmare, but, you know, one of those.
Yeah.
So.
Majestic.
Yeah, it's at the Majestic. Yeah, so it was last Wednesday. We get there. I have my little girl, my wife, took my niece. Everybody's excited. Everybody's dressed up. And we get there, and they scan my tickets, and it says invalid ticket. Yeah. So, you know, usually I buy tickets off of a reseller, you know, TickPick or SeatGeek or StubHub, you know, something like that. And it always crosses my mind, like, what if they're not real?
Yeah.
But I get there and they scan the first one, invalid ticket. Scan the second one, invalid ticket. Third one, invalid. So all four invalid. And the girls have no idea what's going on. So they're like, sir, can you come with us? And they kind of pull me to the side.
What the?
And they're like, he has invalid tickets. And so they call a manager over. I start freaking out. I'm like, oh, man. In my head, I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't leave and not let these little girls see the show. They're already excited.
Yeah.
Forget the pain. I'm like, yeah, forget the money. I need to see the show somehow. And so after talking a little bit, they call over a manager. And the manager's like, I'll be back. And the lady's like, don't worry. This happens a lot here. I'm like, okay. So then I felt a little bit better, but it took like 15 minutes. The guy came back. Apparently, they reprinted all the tickets. Something happened, and the Majestic had to reprint all the tickets, and they resent them out to the season ticket holders. And the guy I bought it from should have sent me the new one. But it all worked out. So I got to see the ticket. Got to see Peppa Pig. It was crazy being there with all those little kids and people going wilding out, man.
Was that? You know, your child's young. Was that your first kid event, like on ice or live?
Yeah, we did. Maybe when she was about a year, we did another show at the Majestic. It was like a mini Disney show.
Okay.
So we've been to another one, but she was a year, so she really wasn't, you know, she wasn't completely aware of what was going on. You know, I mean, she was, but not like she is now at three. So definitely different. And, you know, 30 minutes in, she's rolling around on the ground and. my niece is saying she's hungry and she's mad that she didn't get to eat. Even though we fed them right before we left the house.
Of course.
Man, yeah, that's the way it is. But
and it doesn't stop. Like, I took my boys to a Longhorn baseball game last week.
Oh, that's right.
And we ate pizza before we went.
Uh-huh.
And they tore up the snack bar.
Oh, wow.
Like nachos, pretzels, popcorn.
Yeah,
they sell. Have you ever had Amy's ice cream?
Mm-mm.
There's one at the quarry here in town, but it's a mainly Austin thing. They have that at the stadium. So they even tore that up.
Wow.
They just go to town.
How does Amy's compare to Bluebell?
I mean, it's better. It's, you know, they add more to it. Like, you can get Oreo. It's almost it's almost like a Blizzard. It's just ice cream, but it's like a Blizzard type.
It's good.
It's really good. I would check it out. It's on the quarry, right next to the Nordstrom Rack, I think.
Okay.
Right next door. It's right there. That's not our food review or anything. That's just.
That's
just. We're not reviewing the Majestic. We're not reviewing Amy's. We're just kind of giving you what we do. But then my wife's a big stadium snacker, so she encourages it. Like, I already know I'm going to be buying all that. But it's cool for, like, a college baseball. It's cool because not that many people. So it's easy. And then baseball, every half inning, there's a break. So it's easy to go grab snacks and then come back. Yeah. It's like when we're at a football game or something, or maybe a Spurs game. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing this at before the game and halftime. That's it.
Yeah. You're sitting tight.
We're not going up and down. Yeah. But it was fun. Matter of fact, they're playing right now, but they're up 7-0.
Who did they play last week when you were there?
Incarnate Word, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a little hometown flavor also. But it was cool.
Yeah, that's nice, man.
Well, while
I was going to say, I smoked some burgers on the Traeger before the podcast.
I didn't think that's what you were going to say.
That is. They're delicious.
I thought you smoked something else. I was like, wow.
I smoked burgers on the Traeger.
Throwing it out there. No. Well, we're out hitting the town, having fun. The Spurs have been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I want to start with Sunday's game. They win on the road in San Francisco against the Warriors. A great, you know, fun game. Keldon Johnson has a putback to win. And that's, I would say that's probably his biggest moment, individual play as a Spur. And it was a fun win. But then I go on Spurs Twitter, or just, you know, Twitter in general, and half the fan base is a little upset.
That they won or?
Yeah, that they won.
Oh, yeah.
So I was wondering where you're at. I know it's a topic every week, and I kind of wanted to avoid it, but now we're at the spot, right?
Yeah. 10 games left.
What, 10 games left. What are we going to do? Are we going to go for the play-in? I mean, it's not up to us, obviously. Yeah. But what I mean is 10 games left. The Spurs are currently
two games.
Two games out of the play-in.
Yeah.
And they're sitting around the 7th worst record as far as draft order. Where do you want them?
Yeah, and
gun to head right now, where do you want them?
We play the Pelicans. You know, Pelicans are that 10th seed, right? We play the Pelicans on Saturday.
Yeah,
so it's a make big up game. Like a game and a half, right?
Yeah.
I don't want us to make the play-in, right? I don't think we're making a run. I'd rather us not make the play-in, but I like those wins. Like, I like Keldon to get that big-time win under his belt. I want him to get that rebound and get that putback and feel that energy. So if we're going to win, that's the way I want us to win. Now, I don't want us to go out and lose on purpose. You know, kind of how we're saying we want to fight hard and just come up a little bit short. We're okay with that. But I don't want us to really make that that 10th seed and be in the play-in tournament. But, you know, if it does, I'm not going to be mad at the Spurs for going out and going on a little run with these last 10 games.
Now, do you think there's value in the play-in tournament? Let's say they win it and they have a series and they just, you know, they have a series, they lose the first round.
Yeah.
Is there value to you in the making the real playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some value in these young guys getting a taste of what that feels like. So you do lose that if you don't make it in. I think there's a little bit more value in being able to draft higher, right, this year.
Okay.
But because I don't think next year, I don't think we draft and next year all of a sudden we're a top team in the West and we're making the run. Like, I'd rather us get our experience next year in the play-in tournament or the playoffs. But, I mean, that's so far down the road. But there's definitely value in it. And I think it would be huge for our young guys to make the play-in, but, you know, I don't necessarily want us to. What are your thoughts?
I'm pretty close to you. I just think it'd be fun to see them fight and make some play some meaningful basketball at the end.
Yeah.
I guess to me, if they're sitting around 7th, 8th spot, their chances of getting a top four pick, it's only like 25%. But if they go to the play-in, what I'm saying is, are they really, is it really much of a difference if they go from like the 8th pick in the draft to the 12th? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the NBA prospects are such a crapshoot because you only get to see them for a year.
Yeah.
In college. And, you know, I did the math a couple months ago. Last year, out of all three all-pro teams, the average draft position was 11th. Now, the Joker, he was drafted like way at the bottom of the second round.
Yeah, excuse it.
So even if you take him out, which, you know, if you're doing real data analysts, even when you take him out, the average draft position's 8th for all the all pros last year. So I don't know. I mean, even if you're drafting between 8 and 12, you still have a shot. Now, I get it, right? I know it's tougher. If you're drafting 4 or 5, it's easier to find a player. But again, the average draft order of the all pros is 11 or 8th if you take out the outlier. And it's a crapshoot, but the Spurs have 3 first-round picks, so they bought themselves 3 lottery picks.
Yeah,
to hit that jackpot. So yeah, you really do. You would love to have one of them be in the top 5, and I won't be upset with that. But I'm not hanging on. Like, it'd be different if we were one of the 4 worst teams.
Yeah,
and you're like, all right, let's just sit pat right here. But we're already kind of out of the top 4 or 5. Now we can lottery our way in, but even that's only like 25%, I think, or something crazy like that. So I'm rooting for the play-in. I think it'd be really cool if we played the Lakers in the play-in and we send them home. That'd be a nice scenario. Plus, I don't like not being in the playoffs. You know, it doesn't feel right not being. We haven't been in 2 years. It's time to go home, man. You gotta get back. So I'm not gonna be upset if they don't make it in, but I am hoping they do.
Yeah, but people shouldn't be mad if they win. Like, that's the last thing you should be.
But I think there's people that are very holding on real tight to tank. There's very much a civil war going on. And I'm sure every Spurs fan, even not Twitter, just, you know, real life, I'm sure we're all pondering what side of the fence we are on that too.
So are they like cheering, like just sitting quiet during the game? Or do you think they're like rooting for us to miss the shots? Or
no,
they...
I think what it is you watch the game and you're like, oh, let's, you cheer for the Spurs for 3.5 quarters, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, let's hang tough. Let's fight. You know, Lonnie continue to tear it up. Josh Richardson, man, he went for 25 the other day.
Yeah.
He's looking like a steal. You cheer for the Spurs, but at the end you want them to kind of peter out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, and some parents will film me on this. Let's say you have a kid who's playing select sports and it's like a weekend long tournament. After a while, you're like, you know what? I'm tired of being here out in the field. Now, I don't, no. I don't do this because my kids aren't in select, just for the record. They're not in select. But a mutual friend of ours told me these exact words, and that's why it came to my head right now.
Wow. You're gonna have to let me know offline who that was.
If one of our friends is listening, they can ask me. I don't know who it is. But I mean, I'm sure it's like that, right?
So you're like, you cheer for your kid to lose so you can go home?
So you're probably guaranteed like 2 or 3 games.
Yeah.
But if they keep winning, you're gonna be there all day and all night.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's times you're like, you know what? It'd be all right if we got to go home early and pick up some Whataburger on the way home, or, you know, Burger Boy or something. So I think that's how Team Tank is feeling about the Spurs.
Yeah.
You want them to look good. You want the young guys to blossom. Just don't get it done at the end.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to me, it's hard to turn that off.
Yeah.
As a fan. Like, I want them to win every game. And I used to react per game. Oh, let's just tank then. Oh, we suck. Or, and then you beat the Warriors. Oh, we look good. Let's make a run. I'm just gonna cheer for a run. And then worst case scenario, we're drafting the eighth in the draft or something like that.
Yeah, I've kind of been, you know, I don't want to. From the start of the season, I knew where we were going. I didn't think we were making a run in the playoffs, right? So I've always been on the let's not make the playoff side of the spectrum. But I want us to win every game. Like, I'm not out there cheering for us to lose, or I'm not unhappy or mad when they lose. Like, I don't get that. But I just want at the end of the season, when it comes, we're not in that top 10 seed.
And again, the thing too is, we're probably not going to get in the top four. Now, if we do, hallelujah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's just so many variables. One, we still might not make the top four. Two, like I just said, getting a top five pick doesn't mean it's not a for sure thing. You're still buying a lottery ticket. Three, we have three first round picks, so we're going to have three shots at a stud, you know? Or we could use it to move up, or trade, you know, there's salary. There's just so many variables that I'm not going to cheer for a tank, because we're already on the fringe of not even getting a top five anyway. So
yeah,
I'm all right with that. Richardson is nice.
Yep.
Richardson's real nice. I wonder what they, you know, because I think next year will be a contract year. I wonder if there's already behind the scenes conversations, you know, Pop and RC and Brian Wright talking about maybe this is somebody we can use long term. DeJounte continues to, you know, be the leader of the team. But I did want to get your opinion on that, because there's a civil war going on. And I know where Twitter stands. I think I'm gonna put a poll on Facebook, on our Spurs and Salsa Facebook page. I just wanna know where the fan base is as far as tank or play in. But so look for that. But maybe by the time you hear this, it'll already be up. But yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that. I like where your head's at. There's so many variables. Now, if we don't make it in, I'll be lighting candles, hoping to get a top. You know, when that lottery day hits, hoping to land something. But that's a little bit further down the road. We got 10 games left. The Spurs are crazy inconsistent, but they're only two games out of it. So
yeah,
I won't be surprised if they make it in. It's a distinct possibility.
And no matter how you feel, catch that Saturday game, because that's going to be a good
one. Yeah. Because if we lose and we're back three with only a few games left, it might put us out of it.
Yeah.
But it is a big game. It's a big game for this, for the play in and what we want to do, what we're going to do. Catch that Saturday game. You know, the last few years we used to predict on this podcast wins and losses for the week. And we haven't done that this year because this team is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even begin to pretend to logically pick. But because even this week, right, the Keldon win was awesome. You go into San Francisco, you beat the Warriors. Game before that, they got their asses handed to them by the Pelicans.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
Extremely bad. And again, that's why I stopped. This week was a perfect example of, all right, don't overreact, or don't gauge your goals for the team game to game, because the last two games are exactly why you shouldn't. But here we are, home stretch, baby.
Yep.
Speaking of live events, have you been to a sports game this year?
Man, I haven't. And I there's only a couple left, right? So I don't know if I'll make it, but I need to go. I need to get out to one.
I will say this: if you want to go during the week, you can get a ticket on the, you know, first level pretty cheap. Day of, you go on those secondary apps, and the day of, especially right now, they're not playing so good. This has been the easiest it's been to get really good seats, cheap. I've been to a few already, and I'm debating on going to one more before the season ends. But we'll see. But yeah, if you want to, time's ticking. If you haven't gone yet, it's a great chance to go. And you can get down low for a reasonable price. Other than that, nothing really. NBA is kind of, we talked more last week about our big surprises of the year. Nothing besides the play-in tournament. I think the Western Conference play-in tournament is the biggest story because you got the Lakers hanging around there, the young Pelicans, the Spurs, it's Clippers are hanging around there. That's the big story. And it's glad, you know, so when we talk Spurs, we talk play-in tournament, we really are talking the biggest story in the NBA.
Yeah.
Not just the Spurs, but you know what I mean, the play-in. So it'd be fun. Now, at what point, and before we drop this subject, at what point will you be scoreboard watching? Because you're already looking ahead. You're already saying, ooh, Saturday's game, circle it. But when will you scoreboard, like real scoreboard watch for those play-in spots? What has to happen for you? Is it when the Spurs are a game out of it or when they're in it? Or is it, oh, when there's five games to go? Like, what's the barometer where Mouse is on his phone or on watching the scoreboards?
Man, I think for me, it'll be after this Saturday game because there'll be eight games left. And either they're going to win and it's going to be really tight the last few games, or we're going to lose and I don't think we're going to make it in.
Okay.
So it really depends on this Saturday's game.
So by the next time we record, you'll be either out and you'll be driving the tank yourself or you're going to be scoreboard watching.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
All right. Man, Mouse is putting a lot on that Saturday game. You got me pumped for it. I might have to barbecue now. Grill. Treat it like like a playoff game.
Like a Super Bowl, NFL game, or NFL Sunday.
You've already hyped me up. It's going down. Now, besides the Spurs fighting for their lives on Saturday, there's also going to be more March Madness. And this past weekend was bonkers.
Yeah.
God, it was bonkers.
You know, I always, like when I'm doing our pick'ems or looking at the bracket, you know, every year it's like this, right? There's always huge upsets. And I'm like, nah, I just can't do it. Like, I can't make those wild upsets. And then sure enough, they happen. No matter who you think it is, it's going to happen every year to a couple of teams.
So before we, you know, we'll go break down. So the funny thing is the West bracket is pretty much chalk. Now, the first round wasn't. New Mexico State beat Connecticut.
You can.
And then Notre Dame made a run. They beat Bama. But the Sweet 16 teams, it's the 1-4 seeds.
Yep.
So it's crazy. The West is chalk, and then you got chaos everywhere else.
Yeah.
Baylor's already out. St. Peter's is in there instead of Kentucky. You get the South, St. Peter's. There's always one school, and you get the South: Arizona, Houston, Michigan, Villanova. So the 1 and 2 seeds are there, but then the 5 and 11 snuck in.
Yeah, Juwan Howard at Michigan.
Yeah, if you want to see those teams, that bracket is being played here in town at AT&T Center. Make sure you got valid tickets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun that we have some March Madness here in town. It was hard to explain to people because casual fans of, you know, March Madness were asking me, so all of the Sweet 16's here? Like, no, we'll get four teams, just four. But yeah, Juwan Howard, what a roller coaster month he's had, right? When did he have that incident? A little over a month ago?
Yeah, I was going to say about a month ago.
Talk about March Madness for that boy, man.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, did you see Chris Webber was in the locker room?
No, I did not.
Chris Webber went to the game, and he hugged Juwan Howard after the win, and then he went to the locker room. And the reason I bring that up, so those that don't know, Juwan Howard's the Michigan coach. He was a member of Michigan's Fab Five back in the early 90s. If you don't know about them, how old are you, first and foremost?
Yeah, for sure.
They were super famous. Also, if you don't know about them, go on ESPN Plus. There's a really good documentary on the Fab Five. But Chris Webber has not been around the program or his Fab Five brothers in years. Again, there was major fallout. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Watch the documentary. But it was really cool to see Webber back. And it was cool to see, you know, two Fab Five brothers embracing the Michigan team. Because that's what college sports is cool. That's when college sports is cool and alumni come back and there's that love. So it would be cool if all the members of the Fab Five come to town, kind of bury the hatchet and embrace Michigan basketball again.
Yeah, and they were huge back then. I mean, they were my first like college basketball team I ever liked.
Yeah, they were famous. I mean? Like they were rock stars. They were legit rock stars.
I remember having Michigan shorts and playing basketball and them outside. I mean, that was takes you back to a
it does
different time.
So it was
how long ago was that? That was probably early 90s, right?
Early 90s. And then seeing how old they are makes me feel old. You know, because you're seeing, like you just said, they were famous when we were kids, and now they're retired, and one of them's coaching. And
yeah, 91 recruiting class.
They got gray in their hair.
It's wild, man. I can picture, like, you know, you talk about, hey, where were you when this happened? I can picture watching that the infamous moment with Chris Webber and the timeout.
But it'll be cool. It'll be cool if they all get together here in San Antonio.
Yeah.
The Midwest bracket has Kansas, Providence, and then you have Iowa State, an 11 seed, and Miami, a 10 seed. So a double-digit seed will go to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
What was the biggest surprise for you this weekend?
I mean, it's got to be Baylor going out, right? I mean, I think that's one of them.
I had Baylor winning it all. So
yeah,
that's definitely mine.
Baylor going out is huge. I mean, that's the one that comes to my mind.
My national championship game was Baylor Auburn.
Okay.
So I'm currently winning the Spurs and Salsa bracket challenge, but I'm dead in the water.
Oh yeah.
My bracket is like what Spurs fans and maybe some select ball parents want to do. I jumped out to a big lead. I'm looking good, but I'm not going to finish strong.
You're not a closer.
Nope, not in the bracket. Not at all.
I had a couple of number ones. So I had Gonzaga and Arizona in my final.
I had Gonzaga and Nova, but in the final four, but I had Baylor and Auburn. And what's crazy is, so I picked Baylor because they're a one seed. They're defending champs. They came out of the extremely tough Big 12. And the Big 12's done very well. I think they went undefeated in the first round. So I go, oh, okay. So me, and I think I said this last week. I said Baylor, Big 12 is the best conference. I was like, oh, so the Big 12 is going to show up. And they did. I mean, like I just said, even Iowa State's in the Sweet 16. And Baylor's the team that falters.
Yeah. Are you, I know we talked about it last week. You know, I love dynasties, anything like that, like people who win a ton, and Coach K is still in it. You think he pulls it out against Tech this week or when a couple days?
Tech's a really good basketball team, man.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Vegas has Tech as a 1-point favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Tech's really good. Tech's really. I wish that was here in town because there's a lot of Tech alumni and fans here, and it'd be cool to see. It'd be cool if Coach K's last game was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I really don't now. It's not out of the realm of possibilities, but
sure.
Tech's really, really good. I think they're 2 or 3 years removed from a national championship game. So
yeah.
They're not some Cinderella team anymore. They're a legit program. What about you? So who do you have winning now? Not your bracket, but just if you're picking, you know, you don't have a bracket, you're just picking to pick.
Gonzaga, I think they're...
They look good.
I think it's hard to go against them. And that's who I have winning it all to begin with. And it's probably an easy pick, right? It's the safest pick of everybody, right, if you're looking at it. But I still think they look good, man. So I got to stick with it.
Memphis gave them a little scare, but Other than that, they killed Georgia State. They do have a tough draw because the bracket we're talking about the same bracket. If Gonzaga beats Arkansas, they got to play the winner of Tech and Duke. So Gonzaga's gonna have to earn it. But I agree with you. And they have the toughest draw because that's the only bracket that stayed true to form. Mm-hmm. The top four seeds made the Sweet 16. So they're the only bracket. They're the only one seed that didn't get any kind of break because the best teams are the top seeded one. Yeah. But it'll be fun. It's always fun. And I got to say, this year, I wasn't pumped about March Madness going into it. Like, I did the bracket challenge with, our Spurs fan, our Spurs and Salsa fans. Shout out to those that are in it.
Who's leading?
I'm leading.
You are leading. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you were close to the top. All right.
And I've been at the top, but Baylor, I'll start losing mad points coming up.
Who's number two? It looks like Mario C is number two.
Mario Cavazos, yeah. But as soon as the games tip off, I'm sucked in every time.
Yeah.
Because you start watching just random games. Because basketball, it's the most fun to have a tournament because it's not the best teams always winning. It's just who's hot, who makes the clutch moments. There's a reason why the NBA does 7-game series. That's how you really determine the best team. But March Madness is so fun because they just go one and done. It's crazy.
I want to give a shout out to Big Joe. Looks like he's second to the last in the brackets. Way to pick, Big Joe.
That doesn't great sound job. Like a shout out. Who has the most potential points, though?
Let me tell you. I was just... So the most potential points looks like 149. Mario has 149. I have 147, and Jen and Juice has 144.
Okay.
So, we'll see how it shakes out.
So, Mario's in second, but he's got the most potential. No, you missed mm-hmm. one. Michael in six has 150 potential points.
Oh, 150, I missed him.
So, our bracket's still pretty close. A lot of you guys are hovering around that 150 mark as far as potential points. So, and it's crazy. I'm winning this bracket, and I'm way below everybody in potential points. Only one person, Matthew Deal, has less than me. Who knows? We'll see what happens. All right, March Madness is on deck. The Spurs run for the play-in is on deck. But during the week, the one thing that's kept me busy is rare, NFL free agency. It has been wild. This has got to be the most fun free agency I can recall ever. And I'll tell you why. Every year you hear about a disgruntled quarterback, right? And every year nobody moves. A franchise quarterback never moves.
Yep.
And then now all of a sudden they're moving around like crazy. Now, whether you call them franchise quarterbacks or not, starting quarterbacks, and there's been some franchise ones too. Russell Wilson moving, Deshaun Watson moving, Matty Ice. There's been a ton of movement. We talked. I don't know. Did we talk Devontae Adams last week, or did it not happen yet?
I don't think it. I'm not sure. I feel like we didn't talk about it.
Now, it's very interesting to see how the Packers, what they do, or how they play next year, because Aaron Rodgers comes back and he takes a big chunk of that cap, and Devontae Adams is like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So Adams is with the Raiders. They give up a lot for him. But it'll be interesting because if the Packers, let's say they draft a first-round wide receiver and Aaron Rodgers feeds him the rock to the point where he's a stud, they might not miss a beat.
Yeah.
But if they get it wrong or they don't draft a receiver first or second round, they could be in some trouble. I think they'll still win the division, but it might knock them down a peg. So that's interesting. And the Browns, now, Watson was able to negotiate who he went to, right, to a degree.
Yep.
They gave him permission to negotiate trades. Are you surprised he picked the Browns?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because if you would have asked me the day he signed, I would have said, I guarantee he was going to Atlanta. Right, I thought he was going back to Georgia. So I'm definitely a little surprised that that he ended up in Cleveland for sure.
That's crazy, you too, because he could have gone home to Carolina. Not home, but Carolina's where he played college ball.
Yeah.
He's
from Georgia.
He's from Georgia. New Orleans Saints were making a run at him. The Dolphins were always in that mix. And it turns out to be the Cleveland Browns. So you brought up, so let's go backwards a little. You brought up Matty Ice. He's going to the Colts. Do you like what the Colts do with quarterback position? They never want to start over in draft. They just keep finding quarterbacks to trade for.
They haven't won, right? Like they haven't necessarily won doing that.
Yeah, that's a good
point. So I mean, however you can get a quarterback, you need to get one. You know, I thought they probably thought they were going to be set for a while with Andrew Luck. And that obviously changed their long-term goals. So,
well, let me put it to you like this. If you were a Colts fan,
mm-hmm.
would you be all right with trading for Matty Ice and last year trading for Wentz? Or would you say, God, just, I guess it goes back to kind of the Spurs talk. Do you want them to, would you want the Colts to just start over and get a franchise quarterback? Or do you like that they're kind of trying to get in that playoff spot with these, what I guess you'd call them, used up, not used up, but bargain basement quarterbacks.
It's kind of a funny situation because, well, I like them trying to win, right? As a fan, I want them to do everything they can to win. And you trade last year for Wentz, and I feel like you got to give him more than a year, right? You traded for him, let him play it out. But then, on the other hand, if they know he's not right, I'd rather him cut ties right away and go a different route. So I can kind of appreciate it. I'm not mad at it. I wouldn't be mad at them for doing it. As long as you got somebody that's back there.
Because they don't trade – well, they traded a first for Carson Wentz. But they only traded a third for Matty Ice.
Yeah.
So this year doesn't feel too bad. Last year feels – it's just – it's an interesting way of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. They're just like – they just say to themselves, we're not – Denver kind of does it too, although they did draft Lynch a couple years ago. But Denver's been in the market for a veteran quarterback, and they landed a good one. But there is two trains of thoughts now, right? And now that quarterbacks are willing to move – you might see more teams go the Colts and Denver route. But back to the Browns. So Watson goes to the Browns. I know some people are upset because of his legal situation. I will say this. The Browns put out a statement talking about how they vetted him and all this due diligence. That's kind of BS. And the reason it's BS.
You're not buying it?
Here's why I'm not. They gave him a contract to where he's only getting paid like $1 million or $2 million this year. And you know why they did that?
Mm-mm.
Because if he gets suspended, he only loses out on $1 million or $2 million.
Got it.
So they're basically saying, hey, you might be in some trouble. We're going to make it so you don't lose much money. So you're kind of saying, we know you might be a dirtbag and you might get in trouble. We're going to allow you to be a dirtbag by
helping you out,
fixing your contract. And then we're going to put out a statement saying, oh, we vetted him and everything's great. So
maybe we just uncovered why he went to Cleveland, right?
That's sweetheart. And it's a very shrewd move, right? If you're the GM or whoever thought of that, pretty smart to win the Watson sweepstakes. And you're right, it's probably a big reason. I don't know if other teams offered him that kind of get out of jail free card or whatever you want to call it, but I would have more respect for the Browns if they just came out. And I tweeted this too. I said, just tweet out and say, look, we've sucked forever. Can you really blame us for doing this?
Yeah.
But don't go out. I mean, they put a long statement too. Like, geez, you make it look worse after the contract. Because obviously they're not going to be surprised if he gets suspended. So don't pretend that you vetted him properly. Just do it, man. But it's funny to see the teams now circle the teams that didn't win on the Watson sweepstakes. Yeah, the Colts trading Matty Ice. So the Falcons is interesting, right? So they were going after Watson. They don't get him. So then they're like, all right, let's just kind of blow it up and start the rebuild. Because now there's rumors, and there's no real rumors, nothing substantial, but now people are wondering if you could trade for more of their pieces. Are they a seller? Mm. Can you go get a Kyle Pitts or something? Which I know you're a big fan of. That's why I bring it up. So you got NFL teams are, a lot of them are going all in. Some of them are sellers. Some of them are, you know, enablers, if you will. And then there's the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a philosophy, and you may agree with it, you may not agree with it, but boy, do they stick with it. They're going to give out cheap deals. They're going to re-sign the players that they drafted that ended up panning out, and they're going to look for superstars in the draft. And it rubs so many Cowboy fans the wrong way. I'm still not going to overreact or underreact until the big picture. But this week they did, they signed Dante Fowler.
Yeah.
Defensive end spot. I see him more as depth with a quiet upside. Dorrance Armstrong's also there. Gallup, of course. James Washington, another receiver. I really like that signing, and I'll tell you why. If you go
James Washington?
Yeah, because if you go into the season and he's your number three, I'm okay with that. But he's not so good that it deters you from drafting a wide receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they like somebody still in the second or third round, they'll say, you know what, this guy's already better than James Washington. James Washington's not the player that's going to stop us from signing, you know, from drafting this guy. So he's kind of a stopgap. And if you have to go into the season with him as your three, you're all right. But it's not going to deter you from upgrading in the draft. So I do like that signing. And that's why they got Curse back. I know there was some back and forth, but Curse is signed, which is huge.
Yeah.
He was a Pro Bowl safety. He fits this scheme very well. And that's massive. Leighton Vander Esch signed back for a cheap deal. So they haven't done any splash outside the team signing. Mm-hmm. But they still have, I think, $26 million under the cap.
Yeah, $26, $27
million.
So it's funny, right? How 2 weeks ago, we're talking about we have no cap space. Nothing. We don't have any money to spend. Everybody's freaking out. What are we going to do? All these free agents. Mm-hmm. And they renegotiate all these contracts, let a few guys go, and now we're sitting at number two in terms of cap space available.
Yep.
And second. So you just wonder, like, you know, it had me thinking, because when I think of the guys we lost, right, especially the big names, Cooper, Lyle, however we lost Gregory, but I started thinking, is it really about money, right? Like, we have all this cap space. We could have kept Cooper. There's ways to work it. The Browns restructured Cooper's contract, and he's saving a ton of money. They're saving a bunch of money on it. So I was wondering if on your thoughts, like, do you think it was about money or you think it's a culture change? Because you think of Cooper and you think of him quitting on plays. You think of Lyle's problems. You think of Randy Gregory's problems. Do you think it has anything to do with changing culture?
I hadn't thought about that, and I was going to answer you a certain way, and you got me thinking. Like, you're right. Those are – I don't want to label them bad culture guys, but there is some baggage with the three of them.
And even Connor, like, mentally, all the false starts and the penalties he had, even though, you know, maybe Connor Williams, there was something else.
Yeah, maybe they just are tired of the dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
Gregory Gate had some horrible, you know, besides his off the field, because, you know, you talk about Gregory's off the field and so many people want to jump in and defend him, which is okay. I mean, you know, however you feel about what he did and, you know, why he did it. But on the field, he made some stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
On the field, Connor Williams had a lot of holding penalties.
Yeah.
Lyle Collins was more off the field, not reliable, made some stupid mistakes. And then Amari Cooper, you didn't rely on it. You couldn't rely on him every game, every snap. So you might be onto something. You really do. Now, they still wanted Gregory, so I don't know if that's the case. I think with Collins, it wasn't that they couldn't afford him. It was, why should we pay him $10 million when Terrence Steele does just as good of a job?
Yeah.
And I know when you bring up those two guys, people like to nitpick who's better. But if you're nitpicking, you're splitting hairs, the hair you're splitting is not worth $10 million, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Amari Cooper, I've already beaten that horse to death. You could have restructured him, but you're still paying him the 20 or so a year just in another way. I don't think he's worth it. I think that was another money issue. He did make it easier to do with his off the field, not off the field, the way he doesn't show up and whatever you want to say. He made it easy for us. I don't think he was worth the money either. And then Connor Williams, they liked him. I think he did a lot of good, but they were okay that his contract was up. They're able to move on. I think it turned into, if they have to go into the season with Connor McGovern at guard, it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, with all that said, they do have cap space and they need to do something with it because they did make, I think these moves were okay. I don't think there's a big downgrade on any position that they cut, but go make it worth it. Go upgrade big time somewhere else.
Yeah.
Whether it be corner, linebacker, whatever. Bobby Wagner's still out there, but there's a report that it doesn't sound like him and Dallas are close to terms. So I won't bring that up too much, but you got to go spend that money, man. You made these shrewd moves that I'm not against. I'm actually okay with a few of them. But go use the money that you freed up somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I do like about how they've approached this roster, they're not in dire need of anything in the draft. They're not stuck to one position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could use help at several positions. You could upgrade, but you're not stuck in a box. You're not like, okay, we need a quarterback or we need, you know, whatever. Even wide receiver, again, you could find a number three in the second or third round that might end up being a stud. So in that first round pick, all you're looking for is best player available. So with that said, I guess I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like for them to do in the first round is to draft an interior lineman, because that was your weak. If you looked at the offense last year, the number one offense in the NFL, the weak link was interior line. Connor Williams is gone. You got Connor McGovern, who, let's be honest, he's okay. He's serviceable. But he wasn't as good as Connor Williams, even with all his penalties. He wasn't as good. So there is a little bit of a downgrade at left guard. And I also think our center, Tyler, how do you say it?
Biadasz.
I think you can really upgrade there as well. So, and I know I just said, don't go into the draft needing a position. They don't need it, right? If you have to go with McGovern and Tyler, you're fine. But the reason I want them to draft that is one, you can make a major upgrade on your offensive line. But more importantly, for value, it seems like there's going to be some good options where they pick at 24.
Yeah.
There's a center out of Iowa, Tyler Linderbaum, who I've heard several scouts say he might be one of the top 10 players in this draft. But it's a center, so nobody wants to take a center that high. If he's as good as advertised and you upgrade your center position right next to Zach Martin, now you're cooking again, right? There's also Kenyon Green from A&M at guard who could take over for Connor Williams. I think you can upgrade, or Zion Johnson, another guard center. There's three or four players in that little realm of interior line where you can have a major upgrade on offense. So that's where I'm looking. I won't be mad if they take something else, but I think if one of those guys is there and if Will McClay values them that high, I think it's an instant upgrade on our offensive line. And now there's a position where we got it a lot better from last year.
Yeah, for sure. I like those names you mentioned. I'm right there with you. I think we take an offensive lineman. I'm not as stuck on interior as you are, maybe, but because I think obviously we have Terrence Steele on that right side. We saw how bad he was on the left for whatever reason, but he was really bad on the left. And you know, we're gonna have to replace that left tackle position. Tyron is you know, getting close to the end, and that's arguably the most important position on the line, is that left tackle position. So if they were to take a tackle, I'd be okay with it. The names I saw were like Tyler Smith, the Tulsa. I think he plays guard and tackle. So I'm not necessarily fixed on interior, but I think where we're picking, I think offensive alignment is where we're going to get our best value. It's going to be probably the best available at that point.
Yeah. But I still won't be surprised if a wide receiver that they just love, like if there's someone they're like, Jesus, it's kind of like when CeeDee Lamb fell to them.
Yeah.
If one of those falls, they might just say, you know what? We're back, baby. This guy's going to be even better than Gallup or Lamb.
Will you be mad? Because I know with CeeDee, you weren't quite happy with that pick.
I wasn't happy because we had just paid Cooper. We had a lot of resources in one position.
Yeah.
But now that we're not so heavy on one spot, I'd be okay with it.
You're good. Okay.
That's the thing. When there's a salary cap, you can't put too many resources into one position. You know what I mean? Besides quarterback.
Yeah.
But now that we're not giving such a big piece of the pie to that one position, I'd be okay.
Any wide receiver names?
I like the boys from Ohio State, man.
Olave
and Wilson. I'm a big fan of speed because you can't teach it. I think Gallup gives you that nice jump ball, deep threat kind of guy, the 50-50 ball. I think Lamb has speed. But if there's someone that's running these ridiculous numbers that also can be a good route runner, someone that makes the defense say, shit, back up. Because if he gets the ball in space, it's over. Someone like that.
Hey, have you seen where he's expected to go, that Alabama receiver, James Williams, the one that towards it?
He's right around where we're drafting. Yeah, he's there. Yeah.
I mean, but he's coming off that torn ACL, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. So we'll see. He will be right around there. I also saw a mock. I think Todd McShay has us taking the defensive tackle from Georgia.
Huh.
I think Jordan Davis is his name.
Oh, okay.
Amazing run-stuffing player. Now, if they don't get a Bobby Wagner, I wouldn't mind that just because our run defense is still a little suspect. I think that's something. I've always wanted a stud defensive tackle, so I'd be happy. Again, I like that they can get best player available. Go get you a go get the whoever you think's the best. But I think the best value will still be in the offensive line. But we'll see. We'll see what we do. If a defensive end that they love is there, they haven't spent a lot of money on defensive end. I think they're okay going in with Dort, you know, Armstrong and Fowler, of course, Tank. But I don't – there's nobody there where they would say, oh, well, we love this defensive end that fell to us, but we don't have room for him. I think they pull the trigger on that. Same with the linebacker. If there's a true linebacker that they think can fill – that can let Parsons roam a little bit more, I think they take it. They take a linebacker. I mean, they really
take
are
open to anything. They take a flyer on that Michigan linebacker that tore his Achilles, popped his Achilles? David, what is it? Ojabo, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want.
In the first, you don't take.
I don't want. Damn it! Now if he falls to the second round.
Yeah.
They might do a Jalen Smith.
Yeah. Yep.
And do the same thing. I don't know how that might scare people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind that if. I wouldn't like it because I think I want immediate impact on this team just because we were so close and we've lost some pieces. I think you need immediate impact, especially if you're betting so much on the draft, right? Because we talked about their strategy. Their strategy right now is we'll fill some holes in free agency, but we find our studs in the draft. And I see why they think that, right? You look at Michael Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Dak, Zeke, whatever you think of Zeke, he's been an all-pro running back. That's why they feel that way. And they should. But we need your top two draft picks in my dream scenario would be Tyler Linderbaum. He makes your offensive line way better right away. And then maybe I think his name's Sky Moore, a wide receiver who ran an incredible 40 time. He's one of the better route runners in the draft. I think he's Western Michigan, or let me look up. But he's somebody I would really want. His name's Sky Moore. 4.3. They say he's got the explosive release. Highest grade. He played in the MAC. So I don't know what school he went to, but that's the receiver I'm looking at. So if you give me that your first two rounds, I'll be ecstatic.
You're happy.
Because both of them are starting on your offense. Now, Moore would be your third receiver, but most teams run three receiver sets. So I think that's an up. I think our offense becomes better next year, mainly because your interior line is better. But that'd be my dream. But again, I'm not mad at if best player available, somebody else on their big board, go for it. They've put themselves in a spot to where they can take best player. And that's always their goal. What's funny is last year they were in dire need of a corner.
How mad were we, and how did that work out for us?
Isn't it crazy? So we don't get a corner, but they draft maybe the best. I mean, honestly, you could argue he's the best football player on earth right now.
Yeah.
And I don't sound stupid saying it. Like, the dude is – Michael Parsons is that guy.
Yeah.
At the very worst, even if I'm not being, a fanatic, whatever you want to call it, you drafted the defensive player of the year. He might not have won the award, but he was the defensive player of the year. So going into the draft, not trying to fill a need, but and again, it happened on accident for them, but I love that they filled enough holes to where they're not handcuffed to one position. That's a good spot to be in.
Yeah. Now, and with all this money to spend.
Go spend that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go finish it off. Spend some money. Go get some difference makers with that money. And then really go into the draft not needing anything. Go in shopping for luxury.
Yeah.
That's a dream scenario. Now, with all these moves, has there been what? Okay, I'll ask you this. What team, just through free agency, has made the biggest leap for themselves? Would it be Denver?
Denver's up there. I feel like Oakland's made some big moves. I mean, adding Russell Wilson to Denver is huge, right? So maybe them. That AFC is it AFC West division.
The whole division.
It's
gonna be wild. Because Chargers got Khalil Mack. It's just the AFC West is crazy. But I would say Denver quarterbacks. I mean, when you add a player the caliber of Russell Wilson to a team that was already solid, they're the ones that probably make the biggest jump. They could actually win their division. They probably won't, but it's probably the biggest jump. If Cleveland was still stacked on offense, you could argue them. I mean, they do have Amari Cooper.
I'm not worrying about their offense. This is their defense, because their offense they're going to put up numbers with Chubb and Deshaun and Amari.
So maybe it is them. If the Browns draft a receiver early to add to the firepower, then they could be the team that made the biggest jump.
Yeah.
Nobody else, right? Teams have made moves, but I'm trying to think of who made the biggest jump. You could I guess it is. You could even say the AFC West. Everybody but the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have much more to go up, but they did get Juju.
Yeah, people are talking about that being like the best division ever in football.
On paper.
Yeah.
On paper, it's up there.
Because usually, you know, when you talk about that, you talk of the NFC. East or you know, our old division back in the 90s with us and Philly and Washington and the Giants. And
it'd be hard to beat that because the NFC East, they won, what, 4 Super Bowls in a row? The Giants, Redskins, and the Cowboys twice.
Yep.
So it's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
But on paper, it looks pretty tough. The NFC West, though, too, is still really good. Nobody's made crazy splash moves, but it's still a really, really good division.
I guess. Has Aaron Donald said if he's coming back? Have we heard anything there?
No, I'm sure he is.
I don't think so.
Right? There hasn't been anything said. No. All right.
Yeah.
I think. So we got a bunch of free agency coming through, watching that as it comes. March Madness, Spurs. Besides all that, Mouse, the world needs to know. What are you watching?
Man, it was another boring week in terms of TV here. A bunch of March Madness on at the house, so I didn't watch a ton of TV. But Friday night, I did watch the new Ben Affleck movie on Hulu called Deep Water.
Oh, I wanted to check that out, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, don't.
Nope.
It was. I mean, I'm a Ben Affleck guy, right? I usually like his movies, but it was just very strange. Like, I still don't know what the movie was about. I don't know if there was a plot. It ends, and it's just kind of...
I don't know if there was a plot.
Yeah, kind of weird. I don't know. I really have no idea. Like, I couldn't tell you. If you asked me to tell you what the movie's about, I couldn't really tell you. Like, it's just weird. I mean, I guess watch it so I can get your opinion, but... There were multiple times I was like, should we just keep watching this? And it was like one where we just got to, okay, it's going to turn the page. Something's going to happen. But it was just, very strange. So if you watch it, I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Okay, yeah, I'll try to fit it in.
Yeah, I watched that on Hulu. And then the only other thing my girl's been watching, or she watches Good Girls. It's a show. I don't know. It was on like ABC or NBC or one of the big channels, but the last season just came out on Netflix. Are you familiar with that show at all?
No.
It's like a, like three suburban moms get tied up with like a drug guy, and they like launder money. So anyway, we've been kind of watching that with her, scrolling on my phone while she's watching it. It has the gangster, the bad guy in that show. His like acting and being like a gangster is so bad, and like he talks in a weird voice. It's so horrible to watch. But she likes it, so I've been trying to watch that with her.
All right.
Yeah. What about you?
My list is very short because of everything I laid out. Because my kids were gone for spring break, so my wife and I went out a lot. I did say we watched the movies, watched the Batman, but I talked about that last week.
Is there going to be another little one on the way after this week?
Nope, just the puppy.
Yeah. What did y'all get into?
Hey, you're the one. You're the one going to be changing diapers soon.
Yeah, I will be.
I'll just get you diapers. I watch so much basketball, and I do watch college baseball. And the only thing I watched the movie called Nobody. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's a lot like the movie Taken or John Wick, but it's with this dude. You know, if I tell you his name, you won't remember. He's like he always plays kind of the goofy. Oh, did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yep.
He's Sal. Better Call Sal. Yep. He's the main like killer guy. Like he's John Wick.
Okay.
So it's very it's a different take on the kind of movies. I watched it on HBO Max. It's pretty good. It's very entertaining. The story
is it
cool.
Funny? Or it's like a
not really action just movie. It's an action movie. It's like okay. John Wick. The concept is a little funny just because you don't expect this dude to be a stone cold killer. And yeah. He's not like he's a suburban regular dad. They do play up on that fact of who he is, a goofy guy who just gets involved with the wrong people. It's cool. It's really cool. I recommend it, especially if you're into those action movies. You know, it's not going to go up for an Oscar nomination or anything, but it's a cool movie. I recommend it. The only other thing I watched was I'm finishing up on 1883.
Oh, are you done yet?
I have one more, but I can't believe what they're doing. It's crazy. It's a great show. It's a great show.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it's great.
I think I like it more than Yellowstone.
Oh. It started slow, but it gets so good.
Only because Yellowstone is, admittingly, it's very soap opera-ish, right? It's very, yeah. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the violence. I'm okay with the crazy over-the-top storylines. Whereas 1883 is just more grounded and realistic. And it's even more brutal. Which is more realistically, right? Like, it's like.
I love that the girl narrates it. Like, it really sets the tone.
That's great. I love that they aren't sugarcoating the Oregon Trail at all.
Yeah.
To the point I'm like, man, why did people come to America? Why would you come here? And why would you go west? It's crazy. It's a great show. And I know it's older now, a couple months old now, but I can't sell that enough, man. It's worth Paramount Plus.
So what's happened? Or you think it's bad to say spoiler alert still, or
I'm on the last episode.
Okay.
So you remember how the show starts with the arrow?
Yep.
I'm to that point where we caught to that point.
Okay.
And I can't believe they're doing this. Like it's very brave TV. If I think what's gonna happen, happens. Great storytelling, but man. The show's brutal, man. Like just, it's rough.
Yeah,
but it's great. It's incredible television.
You get like choked up watching that show.
It's just it's really good. It's very well made, and I'm looking forward to all the stuff. The guy's name's Taylor, right? Taylor
Sheridan. Yep.
Sheridan. He's got like five more projects coming out on Paramount Plus.
Yep.
Like Paramount Plus is putting, you know. He's the franchise, right, of the whole network. And I'm all about it. They did like a little cut of all the stuff he's going to come out with. I'm all about all that stuff. So
I wonder if 1883 is done, because I saw something about like he's doing another series called like 1920 something or.
Yeah.
Right. So I wonder if like these are going to be like one season shows.
I doubt it. I bet you they'll run simultaneously.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just different eras of that family.
Have you watched Mayor of Kingstown, which he also did,
no, but
completely different genre?
Once I finish 1883, yeah, I'm doing that.
You'll love that. That's up there with, yeah, it's up there with Yellowstone and that.
Got Coach Taylor, man. I gotta watch Coach Taylor.
Yeah, I know. Watch that one. Watch that one like today or tomorrow.
Oh, what else? Speaking of Coach Taylor, so we're talking about Friday Night Lights, the actor. You remember Smash on a,
yeah,
Friday Night Lights. He has a role. It's a one episode role on the new Wonder Years series. And it was cool to see him. And he does great. I was like, look, baby, it's Smash. Smash, baby.
Smash, yes.
The Wonder Years show is amazing, too. If you're not watching that, that's great. It's on ABC, so you can catch it the next day on Hulu. That's really, really good. And I was skeptical because I'm a big fan of the original, but it's really good. That's a really well-made show, too. That's the other thing I watched. But that's weekly. But so yeah, I'll be done with 1883 by probably maybe tonight, and I'll start on the Mayor of Kingstown.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, plenty to watch. I'll be back on track. But before we go, I wanted to bring out. We always do a food review, right? And shout out to Eleanor's 1909. We reviewed them 2 weeks ago. The Philly cheesesteak truck. She's been amazing. I know a lot of our listeners have gone to the truck and said that they heard about her from us, and she's been really cool about everything. Keep supporting her. Last week, we talked about Second Pitch Brewery. We talked about their summer beer. And when I did my review, I wasn't sure if they sold it in stores, but I did say you could get it at Big Hops, where you could, you know, drink it there or fill up a growler and take it home. They hit me up again. Shout out to Second Pitch. They hit me up on Instagram and they confirmed that you can get their beer at HEB. The Summer Lightning is at HEB. So look for that. That's from last week's review. It's a great beer. They also invited you and me, Mouse, you and I, to their brewery. So we will be checking out their brewery. And they do serve food there, I believe. So we'll probably review that as well, the entire brewery.
There you go.
Great to, you know, cool, you know, great for them to reach out to us. That's very cool of them. So we've done some kind of newer stuff, right? A new brewery, a food truck place, you know, kind of what's going on in San Antonio. I wanted to this week take it back to a classic. And I purposely didn't tell you. I didn't tell you what we're reviewing just because I wanted to get your reaction. I went to this spot that's been around forever. And I hadn't been in like 10, 20 years. Have you ever been to Ding Hao?
No, I haven't been since I was in college.
Okay.
I mean, not since I lived on that side of town. It's been probably about 15 years.
So for those that don't know, Ding Hao is a Chinese restaurant off of 410 and Babcock.
Babcock.
You can't miss it. It's this huge place. It's on stilts.
Yeah.
Man, I went the other day, and it's still really, really good.
Is it?
Bro, not only is it really good, they give you a ton of food.
Wow.
My wife and my kids all ordered a plate, our own plates. And there's a section for family style. We didn't order family style. We just ordered our own plates. And I swear to God, we ate the leftovers for dinner the next day. It was so much
food. That much.
It's really good. It's really good. You're going to get your money's worth. The ambiance is really cool. Like, it's an old school Chinese looking restaurant inside. It's family owned forever. They've been here forever. And there's a reason why they've been there forever. It is so good. Even I said they give you a lot of food. I even ordered a jasmine tea. I do this at Golden Walk, and we'll review Golden Walk one day. But I was like, let me try jasmine tea here. The jasmine tea is good. They give you a whole kettle for like a dollar.
Oh, wow.
To the point where my son, my nine-year-old, he's always willing to try new food. He wanted to try jasmine tea, so we got him a cup. I mean, they just give you so much for your dollar, for your buck. I can see why in college that's where you were hitting up, right? You're
struggling
college student. Boy, you can eat good at Ding Hao for your dollar.
What did you get? Lemon chicken?
No. Why did you ask me that? Is it an inside joke?
Because, okay. Yeah.
So for those that don't, nobody knows this joke. We have a friend who thinks to him, ordering lemon chicken at a Chinese restaurant is the equivalent of ordering a hamburger at a Mexican restaurant. I don't know why. He thinks it's for kids only. It freaks him out. My 9-year-old ordered lemon chicken, though. I ordered the sesame chicken. It was great. Good spice to it. The steamed rice was awesome. I got the egg rolls. Those were amazing. I did try some of my kids' lemon chicken because everyone was like, oh, get the lemon chicken. It's the best there. I just ate off my kid for a little bit, my kid's plate, and it was really good. I could see why people say that. Everything was good. Everything's really good.
Yeah.
It's nothing crazy. It's, your traditional, what you think of a Chinese restaurant. The ambiance is amazing. The food's really good. It's a classic. And I'm willing to bet we're not going to hear anything from the owners of Ding Hao. They're probably not big on podcasts. They're probably not big on Instagram or Twitter. And that's okay. It's a institution here in town.
Yeah, it's a staple.
You got to go once. You got to go once. It's one of those. And that's what I love about this podcast because, you and I grew up here. So we've been to most of the classic places. But so many people move here. Or maybe they're not even from San Antonio. Maybe they're listening because they're a Spurs fan or Cowboys fan, and they want to come to a game. And we can also tell them about the classics, not just the new up and coming restaurants. But Ding Hao's definitely on that list, man. And I was skeptical, right? So
yeah,
I was like, oh, maybe it's not as good as when you're a kid. And I will say this, and we've said this before, we won't review anything that's bad. There's been some places I left off this podcast that I tried and it didn't make the cut. But I'm glad Ding Hao did. I'm glad that the old classic's still up and running and it's still good. It's only the second or third Chinese restaurant we've done. They've all been like old hood spots. The other one was Sarku in Ingram Mall.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, that place, every time you mention that place, people go crazy. They've got a following. But Ding Hao definitely up there as well. Go and check it out. Again, don't tell them you heard it from us because they won't give a crap. They won't know who we are. But shout out to Second Pitch and to Eleanor's 1909. They've been getting some love from our listeners. I appreciate it, and they've been sending it back. So good on them. We'll keep reviewing some of the newer spots as well. But I also want to keep up with the classics. But yeah, that'll do it this week. Next week we'll know who's in first place in our bracket challenge for Spurs and Salsa. We'll know who the final four is. We'll see how the games go here in town. If you're going to go to the game here in town, have fun. I don't know if there's events. I don't think there's events around the city for Sweet 16 games. But I did see, we'll talk about that next week. We'll know if Mouse's big Spurs game Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll know where the Spurs are at. Yep. If we're scoreboard watching or if we're starting to look at mock drafts.
Yeah.
Mouse will be in one mood or the other. But until next week, go Spurs, go.